are Marshall.
Wrong school today, buddy. Dear, are you? How confident on a scale of 1 to 10 are you that they're going to play well? Not zero.
4.5.
I was 5. I was like, I'd say 5. It's a 50-50 chance. Yeah,
I mean after performances at Purdue and the damn near loss at Maryland.
Yeah.
I am slightly concerned.
It'll see, like, once the first quarter is over, second quarter, I'll be like, okay, how far do we have to come back? Because that's what it's been the entire season.
Yeah.
What do we have to do this?
Because they're a lazy second. Yeah. They're a lazy first half team.
Yeah.
This will be different, though, I think. I think this reminds me maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe Harbaugh's first year, where Michigan wasn't very good, but they played the teeth out of Ohio State. I think it's going to be a close game. And I think Ohio State could win.
I think they. Well, I think. Same. I think they could win too.
I mean, I give them.
But
a...
But it depends on how.
Not put on this Halloween costume for nothing.
D's wearing an Ohio State. Is that a Terrell Pryor? Is that why you bought it? I have a theory. Do you want to hear this theory? I don't think I've ever thrown this your way. It was 2008, I guess. I think Rich Rodriguez, who I know Michigan fans absolutely revile. He was just ahead of his time. I think he took the Michigan job expecting, at the very least, hoping to get Terrell Pryor. And when he didn't, he was fucked.
Okay.
He went, right. And what made it worse is he went to Ohio State. Yeah. Did they win a title with that team? No.
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 Mm-mm. No.
He was damn good.
That was when he used to choke.
Cardale Jones.
Right.
God rest his soul.
As a... If he's in the NFL, it's barely.
No, I think he's in Canada.
Yeah.
Did he go to Canada to play?
I'm sure he did.
I think, you know what? I think he actually is in the NFL on the injured reserve.
Really?
I think
so. I could have sworn he went to Canada.
He might have. He should have come out after that championship game. Because.
He did.
He didn't. No, he went back and didn't get his job. Remember?
Because he lost it to JT Barrett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He should have come out.
JT Barrett was the starter.
Yep. And he won those last couple of games, and he looked like a mini Cam Newton, and he went back to school. I wish he would have come out. Oh well. How are you guys? How was your Thanksgivings?
It was good. It was the first. So we usually it's like a big family thing, and my dad's family comes in from out of town. Like they all live all over. Some are in Missouri. Some are in Maryland. One lives in France. She clearly wasn't coming. None of them came this year. So we went out to dinner.
Where'd you
like
go?
At a restaurant, Fire Pit Grill. It was good. I was pleasantly surprised after people's experiences that they've had that I've heard.
It's an airport, like towards Swanton.
Yeah, yeah.
Barbecue joint, or is it just like your typical?
I mean, I don't know what it is usually. The only times I've ever been there is for brunch and like Bloody Marys. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Like 2 hours from now.
Yeah. No. Yes. Yes.
Was it busy?
Yes. Yeah, it was actually really busy. They said that they were slammed the entire day, but when we were there, it wasn't like overcrowded or anything. We could walk right up to everything. But they ran out of turkey, and they just kept telling everyone. And it was, I guess, whatever they had was from like 10 till 6 or something like that. And we were there at 4. That was the time for our reservation. And by the time me and my dad got up there, there was no turkey. So I was like, They're like, oh, well, we have more coming. I'm like, okay. It went on for an hour, and then I was like, you motherfuckers don't have no more turkey. Just say you're out. So
did they replace it with something?
I mean, they had like prime rib and ham and that whole thing, so I was okay. But, you know,
never done
Thanksgiving.
Never done the going out for dinner for Thanksgiving.
Never. We've never. I mean, I'm 34 years old. It's never once happened.
Can you stop that?
What?
Oh, sorry.
I know we're both bearded, but yeah.
I can't hear it. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, I know. I didn't hear it either.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize. Yeah, you had no headphones.
We don't have headphones.
How was your Thanksgiving? What'd you do?
Oh, it was absolutely horrible. My Thanksgiving was absolutely... It started Monday when my brother-in-law's girlfriend suggested to him that he go see a doctor because he had this really horrible cough. And she was like, hey, we're doing family stuff. So if you have pneumonia or something, we really need to find that out because there's going to be a ton of kids around and blah, blah, blah. So he sets an appointment, goes see his doctor. Doctor looks at him and sends him immediately to the emergency room.
Oh, God.
He's like, you shouldn't even be here. You need to go to the emergency room. So,
high five for a man waiting until he like should have been in the emergency room to actually go get something looked at.
Oh,
just say.
Yeah.
It's not like a man cold.
And so he goes to the emergency room. They do a chest x-ray and his lungs are covered in blood clots. Blood clots. Huge blood clots. And they immediately check him into the ICU. They're like, hey, you could have dropped dead at any moment.
Oh my God.
Because your lungs are literally covered in huge blood clots. So then they run more tests, CT scans, everything. Not only is his lungs covered in blood clots, his kidneys just inundated with blood clots. He is in renal failure.
What? Was there any like specific cause of this? Smoke?
We'll get to it. So now he can't breathe.
Oh my God. He's got
blood clots. He's in the ICU in Bellevue, Ohio. And so this sends everybody in the family into DEFCON 5. We pack up the car, we drive to Bellevue. I'm watching him go. His kids are crying. You know, his mom is like doing mom stuff, which is like just hovering around, tucking things in, adjusting wires, you know, that kind of stuff. They're like, hey, we're going to get a pulmonary guy in here, check you out, blah, blah, blah. So they run a whole body CT on him and find he's got this huge blood clot behind his kneecap, which has been breaking apart and sending
everything
towards his heart and his brain. But now they're like, we don't know exactly like how this came about, blah, 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 what we're going to do. They were talking about years until it cleared up. They put him on blood thinners. So now Thanksgiving shot. Just, you know, he got out of the hospital on Thanksgiving Day. So we don't do anything. We have a little meal at her parents' house. And then we pack up everything on Friday and drive to my brother-in-law's house to have Thanksgiving. And he's like, you know, I'm like, well, they sent you home. So, you know, it's got to be. But everybody's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Right.
And I'm like, and my wife is like, hey, I need you to show a little more concern than, you know, what you did in the emergency room. And I'm like, first of all, you need to understand I am not a doctor.
And everyone handles it differently.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, there's two things that I can provide.
Yeah.
On this visit, and that's levity and support. I said, other than that, I'm not going to break down any medical charts. I'm not going to have a house moment where the doctors are like, we're totally confounded by this. And then I spit out some kind of medical genius stuff like, have you tried combining paint with ammonia? And they're like, oh, we haven't done that. Oh, my God. You're like the Doogie Howser of Bellevue.
You solved it in 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Doogie Howser of Bellevue.
And I'm like, that's just it. I'm not, me worrying is just going to make things worse. I said, and in my opinion, the only reason you sit in an emergency room is waiting for something horrible to happen. So everybody has somebody to hug, right? And she's like, well, what about information? And I said, well, here's the thing. When I was a kid, way back in the aughts, I said, we had to hang out in the hospital because that was the only way you would get information. Like, you couldn't get information any other way, you know. So everybody had to be there for the doctor to come out and give the big, long, you know, presentation. I said, now, with the invention of FaceTime and text messaging, information can be relayed quite quickly to everybody who's involved.
Perhaps even the archaic method of a telephone call.
Yeah. And so, you know, that was just my stance on things. Well, you know, he comes out of the emergency room and he's at home now and everybody's worried about leaving him by himself. You know, they're like, oh my God, you know, I'm like, his girlfriend's with him, you know, blah, blah, blah. And eventually he's going to have to go about his life by himself.
Right.
Like this is like you are not going to be able to do anything.
Did they give him a prognosis, like even short term?
They got him on heparin, which is a blood thinner, a bunch of other things. Right now, his biggest concern is he hasn't pooped in like 4 days. And I'm like, well, you know, it's probably all the painkillers you've been eating.
Right.
And bound you up. And so he was miserable yesterday. And then it was like yesterday I got, I don't know, maybe I'm just like, you ever just like all of a sudden take on symptoms of people around you? Like maybe I'm just too empathetic. Like my empath powers are deep because my sides of my ribs started hurting.
It's called hypochondria.
And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm just like, oh, and I couldn't eat Thanksgiving dinner because I was in so much discomfort. And it was just, oh, horrible. And then we got on the road and left at like 2:45 to come back home to Toledo. And everything seems to be fine right now. I mean, so other than that, I mean, this Schwalenberg family has taken a beating over the past few years with just people, you know, medical emergencies and things like that, people dying. And, you know, it was 4 years ago that my Kara's Uncle Brian died of a sudden heart attack while he was driving. And he wouldn't have been, and from everything I understand, he'd still be alive today had it not taken them so long to get him out of the car.
Right.
And then on top of that, like a bunch of other people just died, just boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, holy crap, you know. So, like, it's kind of touchy, and, like, this was literally the worst Thanksgiving I've had in like a long time. You know, I made my pumpkin pies. I didn't even get to eat my pumpkin pie. I was in so much discomfort.
Maybe it was gas.
You know,
because gas is like the worst pain ever.
Oh, I know. And you just like want it to break loose and you don't even care who's around.
I had never even had anything like that ever in my life. And I don't remember if it was like before I got pregnant with Tucker or like after. I was like crippled over in so much pain that I ended up going to the emergency room because I was like, something has to be happening. Like something is rupturing, something has burst. And they were like, oh, you could be pregnant. I was like, definitely not pregnant. They're like, well, you could be. And then they're like, oh, nope.
Shut up. Oh, my husband ejaculates all over my face. It would be impossible for me to be pregnant. Well,
so not true.
Bob, cross that one out.
That would have to be one determined sperm to work its way down through the esophagus.
He's a busy little guy. Just was going crazy. Bob, no.
We got a facialist over here. Not pregnant. Hold off on the test.
I got GPS, boys. You can follow me or not.
Shut up. No, and they're like, it's gas. And I was like, fuck you, it's gas. There's no way. I'm like, I am like dying. Like, I'm dying. And they're like, no, it's fine. Go lay on your left side for a while and take this. And I was like, fine. And like 2 days later, I was fine.
Dee, does anybody in that family have what?
Blood clots?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is something that's genetic, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they always ask, like, when you go to surgery, like, is there genetic?
I haven't. My dad's been bugging me. There's something in the male genes that we have that it, like, prevents our blood from clotting if there's any kind of, like, lower leg surgery. And my dad has to take a baby aspirin every day, which I guess is the same as, like, a blood thinner.
So is my mother-in-law.
Yeah, so
she had a clot. Oh, my God. And around the exact same, she had a clotting problem the first time at the age of 38, which is weirdly enough the same age as my brother-in-law when he came down with this. So
is it Kara's brother?
Yeah.
So then is she gonna get herself checked out a little bit?
Here's the thing.
That's a no.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because then
it's going to happen. But the problem is when things like this occur, people start going back through their family medical history. My mother-in-law did the exact same thing. She was like, oh, my God, look what I did to my baby, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, this is this. You know, we had, they had a hemophiliac in the family way, way ahead of time. And then all of a sudden they just have blood issues. And so then all of a sudden my wife is like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I am going to drop dead.
Probably.
The age of 38.
Yep.
And I'm like, I got to wait 3 years. Anyway, that's not what I
said. By the way.
But you thought it.
You have your life insurance policy up to you.
Oh, it is. I'm the one who takes care of it. So I think I'm upping it. Anyway.
Honey, where do you want the 70? Yeah. Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah. The Cara Nicodemus Memorial 50-inch screen television.
Only 50?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm going over the top.
Just want to notice.
I just need something, a little plaque on the end of it, you know, just to let everybody know what it's for. And so that's kind of how all that shook out. Is that a dude? Anyway. Anyway, yeah, totally took me out of my thing. But so now everybody's like on pins and needles about him, and I get it. You know, blood clots are scary because you can't feel a blood clot break loose. Like, he didn't feel it break loose, and you know, boom, it's like that. Either A, stroke; B, heart attack; or C, a combination of the two, which don't work out too well for anybody.
Right.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's heavy for a Thanksgiving week.
It is.
Way to bring us down.
Yeah. Well, but I got my eyelashes done.
You know, I was just like, damn, damn, damn. And then on, like, you know, on top of everything, it's just like, you're like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. And it was kind of, and it was real slow at work because people aren't really thinking about insurance or anything like that. So it was just like things on top of things. And I'm like, all right, it's all good. But so that was my week. And then you throw in the mix a 3-year-old who, then let me big shout out to Bellevue Hospital, which is if I'm going to get sick, I'm never going to whisper, take me to St. B's. I want Bellevue because Bellevue, it is like 4 nurses to every patient. That place shuts down at 8. Emergencies. Between the hours of 4 and 6, everything else, there wasn't even a nurse at the reception desk when we got there. And, like, you could literally, they were literally letting people just walk in and out of the ICU. Like, it was just, there were, like, one other person in there, and then us, which looked like a goddamn concert, because there was, like, all these people in this tiny ICU room, like, just hovering around what I can only describe as the table setting of death. And... And
closer to a morgue than a hospital?
Well, no. It's just like there's nobody in there. You know, it was great. You know you're not going to not get service, you know.
It might not be the best.
First of all.
Yeah. You're not getting.
First of all, nobody's graduating from Bellevue Medical. like honestly, you've moved there because you've seen too many bullet wounds in the previous life.
Yeah, like I can't imagine a resident at UT being going, you know what? Number one in my class, I'm going to Bellevue.
I'm going to Bellevue.
Yeah.
No, you got like 15, 20 years under your belt, and you're just tired of running. Yeah. You know, that's all you want to do. And so it was just like, have you ever seen Doc Hollywood?
No.
Okay, great movie with Michael J. Fox, pre-shaky. Now, he's this high-profile, high-pressure Hollywood doctor. Driving his Porsche to his new gig, and he crashes it into a fence in a country town. Country town, who unfortunately has lost their doctor to a heart attack. So they need a new town doctor. Well, to pay for all this stuff that he has encountered, property damage and things, judge sentences him to be the doctor of this small town, where he finds love. And a pet pig.
Aww.
And learns that being a family doctor in a small town is probably better for him than being a high-paced, high-priced physician in Hollywood. He settles down. He buys jeans. And he falls in love. And they call him Doc. Hey, Doc, Doc, he's waving. That's the kind of thing that I saw.
It's the non-superhero version of Doctor Strange story.
Yes, exactly. He's like, what, is this going to be an article?
Yeah.
No. Well, good, I'm going to do it then. You know, exactly. But so the week was kind of stressful. The stress on Kara was even more so.
Sure.
You know, to follow it up, like, we had our marriage counseling that Tuesday. And you ever just, like, our therapist was like, hey, I have to do an assessment on your wife. And I was like, okay. She goes, it'll probably take about 20, 30 minutes. You can sit out here, do whatever you need to do. You know, entertain yourself. Well, I fell asleep. I fell asleep in the waiting room.
Oh, my God.
And it was like 40 minutes later that they opened the door and come get me. And I'm like, oh, shit. Because now I walk in, and it is like walking into a room with your wife and the chick that's been sending you naked pictures. And they've been talking for 40 minutes. And I'm like, well, what have I gotten myself into? And we sit down and we talk. And I'm like, okay. She's like, you know, your wife feels like you're not really supportive in these really high emergency things. And I went, first of all, let me just break down two very important things to you. I hate hospitals. And I hate funerals. Mm-hmm. Hate them. Absolutely hate them. Any place I'd rather be, I would be there rather than be in a hospital. Agree. Okay? That's just how I am. I've had horrible experiences in hospitals. My mom made me touch my grandma when she was dead, when I was like six, in the casket. She goes, put your hands on her. And I'm like, ah! She's cold, isn't she? She's cold!
And stiff.
Yeah! God. She's never waking up. Well, okay, I guess I'm going to move on to the hors d'oeuvre table now. Right. Thanks, Mom. So that shit all shakes loose, and it was just like, and I'm like, hey, you know, worrying doesn't do anything. I think that you put negativity out in a hospital, negativity will find you and horrible shit happens. That's just how I feel. Like, if you're not going to be supportive, if you're not going to tell somebody everything's going to be fine, I mean, then don't show up. Don't just sit there weeping and picking and crying and doing that kind of shit, because all it does is make him worry, and it, in my opinion, weakens the entire like energy of your body. Just
so you said this to the counselor?
Yeah, and to her.
What did the counselor, male or female?
Female.
What did she respond with?
She was like, well, I understand what you're saying. Your wife needs something. And I was like, I'm fine with what she needs. I said, we went. She goes, but, you know, Kara was more upset at the fact that I had a shit ton of stuff to do that day. And then this happens. And I'm like, well, that's not going to get done because we have to go to the hospital. So I might have shown a little disappointment on my face about all the stuff that I had to get done. And I was like, and I asked, I'm like, hey, do you want me to go? The answer to that question is yes, and I shouldn't even have asked it. I knew right. I was supposed to go. But we went. Now, she was upset that I wasn't turning cartwheels and doing backflips to the car because I was so excited about being able to support my wife in this highly emotional event that was taking place. Like, this was going to be my time to shine.
Woo! Right. Could have been.
Yeah, no.
You're just not that person.
I'm not that person.
You are. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And so all that came out, and I'm like, look, I just don't like hospitals. There's nothing that I can accomplish there. I'm not a real help other than standing there looking, going, wow, 120 over 70.
And I have a question. Yeah. So, because I feel like I'm very similar in that part as well. If you were in the hospital and something was happened, would you need a whole show to show up?
No.
And I think that's where a lot of it comes from. or like, I don't know what to do, because I'm like, I wouldn't want any of you people fucking here
yeah,
today. Like, I would want to be by myself or have, like, my mom.
Yeah.
So I'd be good.
It's like the, like you talked about, D, it's like the ultimate place to go. We all worry about things that we can't control. It's right. It's human nature. And it's like the ultimate place to do that. To sit in the waiting room thinking, like, you sitting there is going to do something. And yeah. The worst thing in the world you can probably say, and we're very literal, so you'll get this. It'll be okay. No, it might not be okay. But you can say, we'll do our best to get through this.
Right.
Because something horrific might happen.
Right.
But sitting there worrying doesn't make it any... It's the ultimate place where that falls on its face.
Mm-hmm. Like, when people die and they're like, oh, you have to, like, find something to say. And I'm like, this really fucking sucks and I'm sorry. You know, like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm just... I don't want someone to be like, oh, it'll be okay and grief and this and Jesus and God. I don't want any of that. Like, buy me a beer, come over and, like, sit and watch a show with me. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Like, he's got two small kids, Bryn, who's 14, and Taryn, who's 12. And so I'm like, hey, they come in and like, they get there later. And, like, Bryn's crying when she walks in. I give her a hug and I tell her, hey, everything's going to be fine. This mm-hmm. is 2000.
Wait a lie.
This is 2018. Yeah. There's no better time other than the future, you know, to have a medical emergency. Yeah. Now, it's not like the 1800s where they're right. like, we don't know what the hell. Maybe he was praying to Satan, you know, and this is his punishment. I mean, we have made huge advances in medical science. So take a deep breath. Let's figure this out. As children, you need to understand that your dad's going to be okay.
That's good.
My wife says to me, because she didn't see Bryn crying when she walked in, she saw Bryn crying after I had talked to her.
What did you say to her?
Exactly. Oh, God. And I said, I told her that her dad would be okay. Mm-hmm. She was crying when she walked in the door. And my wife goes, oh. And I went, and my first thing is, what do you think that I would lean in and tell a 14-year-old child about her father? Like, now's a good time to start putting stickers on the stuff that you like. Like,
good luck, sweetheart.
Yeah, you got that. Yeah, I already put a sticker on the TV, so.
He's insured.
Yeah, you know.
You can get the pony you've always wanted.
So it was just like a huge thing. And like, when I think about that, no, you know, I don't, like, if I have a medical emergency, I don't want Cohen there, you know.
Yeah.
I know my wife, I know they'll be there, but the thing is, all your hopes and like all your worry isn't going to make me better. You know what I'm saying?
It's not about that. It's about like the people that like, even like after I had the kids, like people needed to be there for themselves. Like mm-hmm. they wanted to be there. If any time like I've been in the hospital for anything else, like people have needed that for themselves. That's fine. I just don't need that. So my first thought when someone's like, oh, this is happening, like other than my mom or my grandma, I'm not like, oh my God, I have to go right now. It's just not who I am. Sure, if they ask or if they're by themselves, do you need me? Like if you were like, I have to go to the hospital, if something crazy is happening, I'd be like, do you want me to go? I would ask.
I'd want to, like, I think we're all the same way. Like, get me there and that's it.
Yeah.
Like when I had the endoscopy, I wasn't concerned anything was wrong, but it was precautionary, whatever. Right. We're going to get some answers. Drop me off. Yeah. No, and then come pick me up. You don't have to hang out there. Yeah. Go do something to occupy your mind. To your point of what you said earlier, I have a hard time when somebody that I know dies.
Yeah.
And, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not. Yeah. Like, I'm not sorry. Like, yeah. It's just like, I'm sorry. Like, it's terrible that you feel this way and that you're going through this, but I'm not sorry. Like, I didn't do it. Right. I haven't killed anybody in years.
You know what it is? And I'm like, and maybe this is just a really, like, shitty way of looking at it. But grief to me is more of a selfish feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the, you're upset. Like I'm like my, it's been 10 years yesterday that my mom passed. 10 years yesterday. I don't ever think about, hey, my mom was in a really bad place and now she's not, you know, I go, I really miss my mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's the things that I need, you know, mm-hmm. It's the, oh my God, how does this affect me kind of feeling, rather than going, wow, okay, how do we move on? What do we do? I am more focused on the fact that I hurt, you know?
Yeah, but it's yeah. also, it's different when it's someone that close. It's your mom. We're, mm-hmm. we're that person always put your needs in front of theirs.
No, let's not jump the gun.
Except when she was beating the hell out of you two, but you brought it on yourself.
Yeah, well,
I have a question. Are we getting progress in counseling?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we got a lot of ice to chip away. I get
that. There are some, you know, my wife is very, like, quick to throw the rules out. Lately, she's been better at that. Like, we haven't really, like, had a huge argument so far, but yeah, so it's been better. I'm not going to be mad about it, but yeah.
I mean, it takes time.
It takes her more effort than it does me. She's definitely more emotional.
The reason I ask you, it's been a short period of time, but one of the things that you want to correct, the counselor should work to correct, is exactly the conclusion she jumped to that you explained a couple of minutes ago. My dad always talks about whenever I've been through things, and this is nothing that really any counselor ever talked to me about. My dad would always talk about automatic negative thoughts. Like, you immediately jump to a conclusion that's our irrational mind. Yeah. That's our anxiety. And you train your mind with certain techniques and practices so that your mind doesn't jump to that. But when it does, you've got to walk it back quickly. And by doing that, you stop yourself from allowing it to happen in the future. But it takes time.
Oh, yeah. And that was something that was brought up in therapy, was my wife goes, she says, well, this happened, so this is how he's going to react. And then that's the reaction that, like, it doesn't matter. Case in point. Thursday night, my wife is driving home from my in-law's house. I'm in front of her on the turnpike. We get off the turnpike at Maumee, where that speedway is. Everything's fine. I get a phone call from my wife. She's like, my car's making this horrible noise. She's like, I don't know what's going on. The baby's in the back seat. You know, I'm pulling into the parking lot of Savers. I don't know what's going on with my car. I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, listen to it. And I hear this, wop, 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 wop. And I'm like, oh my God. Now I'm thinking, transmission is done. Something's done. I'm like, this is going to be a lot of money. I get there and she has run over a bungee cord.
Oh.
Like a bungee cord, like a thick black bungee cord with the hooks in it.
Yeah.
And one of the hooks has gone right into her tire. Like, so now she's got a flat tire. And I'm like, I'm not mad at her. I'm frustrated with, like, it seems like there's always an emergency or something that's going to cost us money that happens in a week, every week, without fail. There's always some kind of emergency that happens. Now I got to buy a tire. You know, now I got to change her tire in the middle of a parking lot, and I got to drive it somewhere so we can have a tire put on it. She immediately assumes that I'm mad at her because she has accidentally run over something that was black that you couldn't see in the middle of the night. I wasn't mad. I was frustrated and I had questions. She goes, this isn't my fault. I said, I never said it was. She goes, it was written all over your face. And I said, I did not write it's your fault on my face.
It's in my underpants.
You know? And she goes, I know what you're thinking. And I'm like, stop that shit. You don't know what I'm thinking. Yeah. It is not fair to jump to that kind of conclusion. You've already said that I'm pissed without giving me the opportunity to be pissed. Like, you've already given me my reaction.
Right.
Like, you don't know. And that's what my therapist said to her. He was like, she goes, hey, you have to at least give him the opportunity to react. You can't already give him his reaction because your reaction is going to be he's going to react negatively. You don't know that until he does.
If... she won't take any advice from me or anybody that knows her, but I need to find a stranger and give her one of my books and have that stranger give her this book, because it was enlightening to me. It really, you know, helped me get a handle on my shit when I was 28, 29. And it goes through all this, like all the crutches and all the mistakes that we mentally, emotionally, and psychologically make. Unfortunately, she checks all the boxes. Like that's picturesque fortune telling. Mm-hmm. You immediately, you know, look, if you, maybe you can tell her this, maybe. Kara, if you're so good at predicting things, we should be rich, because no, I'd be betting Vegas.
No. First of all, why don't you just escalate the situation with that kind of comment?
That's my point, though. But and that's what the therapist has to teach her. Kara, if your anxieties are so right all the time, then we should be rich and be betting Phil and Tiger in today's football game. But for the most part, our anxieties 98% of the time are wrong. Like, look what happened even with the car. Oh my God, it's $7,000 for a transmission. Okay, maybe it's $250 for a tire or something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And because what I heard was whop whop, and it made me think, oh my God, either she's like blown a tie rod, something that is like hitting the bottom of the car that's mechanical, that is busted loose. It was just a tire and a bungee cord. Now, it's not the $1,500 I thought I was going to have to drop on this. It's just literally a tire and a bungee cord. So it was just a thing. And I'm like, you know, she doesn't really give me the opportunity to react because she says that my reactions are written all over my face. Well, it's, look.
Frustration.
Yeah, it's not frustration. Anger. And you have to, I do wear a lot of, like, my emotion on my face sometimes, but same. I'm not mad at you.
It sucks.
Like, well, and it's hard because you're like, in your head, the first thing you're thinking is not fucking again. And it's not that it's a tire. It's not that it happened to her. It's that something fucking went wrong.
Yeah.
And now you have to pay to fix it.
Yeah. And I'm like, damn, it's almost like the universe knows when I'm a little bit ahead and it's like, no, bro.
Yeah.
We can't let that happen.
Yeah.
You know. Boom, boom, boom.
15 steps forward.
Yeah. And then
8 steps back.
Yeah. And you're like, damn it. And so it was just like so stressful. And, but my wife does it even like, and by no means is this me throwing her under the bus or anything. That is not what I am doing. I am just pointing out certain things that I have observed throughout her behavior. Is like, case in point, she read, some kind of like title that you, Eric, that you wrote on the podcast. Boom, 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 boom. And she goes, it had mentioned her. And she goes, great. So you threw me under the bus again. And my question was, did you listen to it?
What did I say? Yeah.
And she goes, no. And I said, well, how do you know if I threw you under the bus or not? Because I didn't. Had you listened to it, you would have heard a bunch of this stuff I had brought on. It was a huge mea culpa, and that was the case. But you didn't listen to it. You decided you were going to formulate every opinion that you had about it off of a sentence. And still, there was no, oh, you're right. It was just like, well, what do you expect me to do? I expect you to listen to it.
Well, that's what I decided, kind of a thing.
If that's what you, if you have those questions and you've come to that conclusion, at least listen to it and find out exactly what was said. If I got pissed off at every headline I ever read, you know, I would never go see another Marvel movie because some of these things are just like infuriating.
But if it's
Who knows
he's
going to be in the next Avengers? No, I don't want him in the next Avengers. I should read the article that says he's not making it.
Yeah, headline readers are the worst.
The bad thing is this is terrible. It destroys relationships as your understanding and trying to fix. The good news is this isn't like going to the gym where you've got to trudge through the snow and start the car up and work out and then eat right. This is stopping your brain when you think something. And you can practice it. You can flex that muscle or train that muscle dozens of times a day. So I hope it works out. That's why I asked you how counseling was going.
It's going.
I mean, there's certainly plenty of opportunities for both of you to excise this junk.
Oh, we had the counseling talk again this week for the 19th time since we've had kids. But he tried doing that trick. Remember you told me about that little thing that you tried doing where you thought for a second like Kara was a whore and she'd want to take $100 bills for whatever you wanted to do? Totally did that. He tucked $100 bills and Pants was like, hey, because I was going to get like my eyelashes done. And I was like, I'll just use my debit card. And then it spawned into like this whole like, you don't even like, I'm just trying to be like, playful and funny and sexy, and I was like, so that's just not how it works anymore. And we got into the whole like, okay, then maybe we need to do this. And I was like, yep, I think that's about time. So and I gotta go.
So our therapist had us what's this dude's name? Gottman. Okay. And he has an app. It's called Card Dex. Okay. And it goes from like love to open-ended questions, opportunities, just regular talking stuff, expressing empathy. You click on that. Here's the stuff that got me interested.
Mm-hmm.
It's the salsa decks. All right. Ooh, the sexy, sexy time. Salsa decks. You click on them, and if you answer a bunch of questions correctly, then your mate has to do whatever you want them to do that's not out of the realm of, you know, like, bestiality or fisting or anything like that. You know,
the normal marriage shit.
So I'm like, woo, and I pull up this car and I'm like, look at him, and she's like, and I'm like, hey, you know, I just like, that's all, like, just show that you're willing to try this stuff, you know, just like the card decks or like any other stuff. Like, we gotta take a $30 fucking assessment from this Gottman person for like to determine like how our communicating skills are like shit, like literally, like she has to break it. We have to literally go back to basics when it comes to talking, because, you know, regardless of what, like how many signs my wife puts up, when she's in the heat of the moment, it is fuck those signs.
Oh yeah, I'm balls to the walls.
Yeah,
like, you want to go?
Yeah.
Where's my knuckles?
Yeah, like, she's like no, and I'm like, but the rules.
But I'm usually right.
Yeah, and she's like, well, this is where you and I have run into a problem. You seem to have brought a knife to a gunfight. And
no, she brought a gun to a knife fight.
And I'm like, well, actually, it wasn't even supposed to be a knife fight. It was supposed to be, you know, it was supposed to be a pipe fight. And it's like literally one of those things where you're just like, well,
we're already off to a bad start,
like,
here.
If you
can't even get
like,
back.
If
that.
You see a guy who's like beating the hell out of a dude with a pipe, and a cop rolls up on him and he's like, hey, what the hell's going on? And the guy goes, well, we're playing pipe fight. And the guy's like, and the cop goes, this dude obviously does not have a pipe. And then you look at him, at the cop, and you say, well, you see the flaw in his plan.
I win.
I win. Done.
He forgot his pipe.
Yeah.
So he's obviously losing.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's just like, it's so funny sometimes. And it
then
is what
the guy
it is.
That brought, the guy that didn't bring the pipe tries to walk away, and you're like, yo, you still don't have a pipe.
Bro, we have four more rounds of pipe fight. And you're trying to check out in the first?
Yeah.
No, brother, I'm sorry.
And the cop rolls off.
Yeah. So it is. I mean, it's.
I hope it gets better.
It's getting better.
I mean, I hope that you continue to work on things. Can I run something by you guys?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad was here last weekend, and I'll just jump right in. He voiced concern that I don't have anyone. Now, I'm moving away from my building. Mm-hmm. I have friends, and it's very communal, and the condo won't be like that, but I know what he was getting at. He voiced concern. He's like, I just don't want you to, you know, be alone. And I was like, well, I'll have the dogs. He's like, they're not going to be around forever. I said, I'll get new dogs. This is me deflecting. I know what he was getting at. And we all think about that. I know some people's worst fears, probably not the three of us in this room, are, I don't, like, some people settle because they don't want to die alone. Like, I have no fear of that for some reason. And it's
everybody dies alone.
Well, not everybody.
Everybody.
Not everybody.
It's your own experience.
Not if you have that hospital room for yeah.
right,
people.
Right, right, right.
That's still you being gone by yourself.
My mom died.
Nobody walks you through the door and goes, okay, you're going to be good?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to go back now.
Yeah.
So I didn't quite know how to broach this other than to deflect. And I like to think that I have a strong enough social circle. I've improved in a lot of ways over the last couple of years, and it was evident in like I had like six Thanksgivings I could have gone to.
Yeah,
and
did you go to?
I went to one.
Okay,
because my neighbor upstairs, his girlfriend has moved away to Italy for a year, and I was like. I wanted to spend time with him because we get along. He's going to help me with the condo. He's one of the people that I'll miss. So I thought that was the good thing to do. And I got to, you know, not get dressed, just went up there and hung out. How do you guys feel about my dad's sentiments?
I think you've made a lot of, I haven't known you anywhere near as long as Demetrius has known you, but just in like the form of like, we chat, we see each other like at the store to, now we have each other's phone numbers and you come on the show sometime to now we see each other every Saturday and we text randomly. I think you've made a lot of strides on the friend front. I think sometimes you don't tap into the people that want to be around you just probably because you don't really care and you don't want to be around them. But sometimes you have to make an effort. You have to make the people that want to make you a priority a priority.
Go beyond that. I think he was looking at this as like a very binary, classic way of...
Like just, you need a person?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I began to think about it that way. And I was like, this is the modern age. I have friends who I have never met before, but they are close and dear to me because of the way we've been able to foster that relationship digitally. Or like I have a girl that I've known in my life for like 15 years now. We've never met. I talked to her all, like she is one of my closest confidants.
Yeah.
Same thing, you know, I have my little community of people. Like I'm trying to get people together to go up to, you know, hang out at a Pistons game. People I've never met but talk to all the time. And granted, it's not conventional, but it is, you know, it is... modern, traditional. And some of these things go away when you're old.
Yeah.
But I can't predict how that is.
I mean, my relationship's like insane. So I don't think that like having one person makes anything better or worse. Like you find someone you get to go through things in life with. But I don't think there's like a timeline on that. It could be like maybe when you're like 60, you'll find someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. If everything for you is enough right now, I don't think anyone, parents or friends, can tell you different.
I think he was like,
Your dad sees.
He just doesn't want you to be alone.
Well, he sees you going through like all the normal steps that a person would go through. You know, buying a house. You know, you have pets, which shows it like there's a connection somewhere. You're not.
You can take care of.
You're things. Not. Yeah, you're not. You know, you're not renting anymore. It shows. You know, you're putting roots down and. And those roots, like he would like to see another tree next to, you know, like you, a forest isn't a forest with one tree. A forest is a forest with at least two you can look at and say, wow, okay, there's stuff growing there. And he just wants you to be a flourishing forest versus that standalone sapling in the middle of downtown Toledo that occasionally gets peed on by a homeless guy. You know, that's what he wants. And so, you know, he doesn't, like, I think a lot of it has to do with he sees his own mortality.
Sure.
And so he's like, when I'm gone, you know, because let's be honest, the strongest familial bond that you have mm-hmm. or the strongest bond period that you have is with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it concerns him that when he's gone, where do you go?
Yeah, my cornerstone will be gone.
Yeah, and so he just wants you to have another cornerstone.
It's a fear that I have, but one that I know that I'll ultimately have to endure one day, but I agree
See,
with
and
Ashley.
Then you say things like that. It's
what?
Like, you know, I'll have to endure one day. Is it the loss of your dad or the fact that you'll be alone? Is that what you're addressing?
Well, primarily the solid number one. The Alabama mm-hmm. is loss of my dad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame would be, yeah. or like Georgia and, would be, you know, I'll be alone. But I won't be because I have you guys and I have friends. And again, this mm-hmm. is why, like, within days of things happening last year, I was like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, people, I care about people here. I have an impact in our community. That's why I wasn't hesitant to do this house thing. So I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of you. You've made huge steps.
And I don't, to Ashley's point, like, I don't think things have to be so traditional. As long as you have people, because there are too many people in situations like where you guys are going through, and others as well, where it's a struggle. And while I might not have that non-blood cornerstone to lean on and do things with in a traditional way, I have other things. I will never be alone unless I choose to be that way.
But see, and that's, you know, things change. You know, you talk traditional versus non-traditional in that regard. But your dad sees it from his perspective, mm-hmm. from when he was growing up, how he created a family. You know, granted, his marriage didn't work out, but his marriage did produce two children that he loves and cares mm-hmm. for deeply. He wants that same kind of thing and for you, but the only route he knows is the route that he took. He can't say, hey, right. I understand that you're on a different path. He's never taken that path.
He knows getting married, yeah. having kids,
yeah, he knows like those yeah. people are always going to be there for you. Friends and friends at times cannot show up, cannot sure. do things.
And but, I think even for that, like, people in, like, our parents' generation were like, that's very different. We're like, I feel like I have a soulmate, but I know it's not my husband. Like,
well, there's 7 billion people on the planet.
Yeah, one of like, them's it's, out there. You know, I mean, she's my best friend since I was 13. Like, she's, like, my ride or die. It's no matter what happens anywhere else, like, we will be fine together. But I think people, like, don't like, if my mom would be like, oh my god, no, like, that's crazy, you know what I mean? So I think that we're more open to connections being long term with people that aren't our spouse or aren't our family
than previous
like, it was like, family's all you have. Well, sometimes it's proven that, you know, that crazy ass, you know, uncle or that crazy ass sister isn't quite the best thing for you.
I just read something the other day, I heard something, and it's, and I've heard it before in different ways, like, the strongest love is the blood that isn't yours, like, yeah. that you choose within other people.
Yeah.
And I talk about, Andrea and I talk about this a lot, how in the past, maybe our parents' age, you know, that soulmate had to be everything to
yeah.
you. And granted, it's worked out sideways where people astray from their marriages because they lack self-discipline, or maybe they found holes to fill otherwise. But that one person,
he said holes to fill otherwise,
sometimes multiple,
fisting next on the show. That one person shouldn't be your everything anymore, because that's a lot to ask of a human being in this modern yeah. age. So, and that's why, you know, I ended my relationship in certain ways,
and people change over time.
Yeah,
like, there are okay. certain things that maybe I needed 8 years ago that I just don't need so much now. I'm a little more, like, through going through kids, through going through owning a business, and through all of that I'm kind of like, I'm a little numb to that. Like, I don't really need you on that anymore, and, like, now I need you over here.
Well, and in the past,
and if you can't see that shift, then there's a problem.
It's very difficult, I think, to have that soulmate, that person. Mm-hmm. And since I've never been in this, like, and this is not my background at all, but it's like, growing with someone
yeah.
is so hard to achieve.
Yeah.
Because there are other places to go. Not to stray with intent, but because it's what's best for you.
Right.
And before, you worked so hard to keep it together. And now you can put some work in, as Demetrius and Kara are doing now. But maybe the ultimate thing here is maybe the conclusion is that, you know, you can't grow together. Not you guys, but just people.
In general.
Like what you talked about.
Yeah.
Where before you had to really force that thing together with every piece of stickum and glue that you could get. But now you can, it's reasonable to come to the conclusion that, you know, we like one another, but we just can't grow together as we've grown apart.
That's crap.
Is it really?
Yes.
I disagree.
That is absolute crap.
I completely disagree. Well,
Demetrius, you're on the clock.
Well, here's the thing, okay? And I know, I know it's a, like, people like to go, well, you know, things change. Absolutely. But I will tell you this. that you can't, no one naturally grows together. It's not a thing.
They do, though. That's,
no, they don't.
Sometimes.
And those, and anybody that you ask will tell you that it takes work to reengage with the person that you've decided to spend the rest of your life with. You just don't wake up. Every day is not a, oh, look at that. We just grow closer and closer. It takes effort and work. And I think nowadays people are too quick to walk away because it is easier to find somebody else. It is easier to go through. But what they don't understand is that you still got to put all that same amount of work into that relationship, too, that you were unwilling to put into the first one.
I'm not saying that.
But if you've been doing that work every day, then you're changing together. The problem is that if the work's not done consistently over time, those things that are affecting one person and the other person just waking up, yeah, like, you know. And
it's a lack of effort.
Bushy-tailed every day. At one point, you get to a point where you're like, I've changed and you haven't fucking kept coming.
I'm not saying that there's not work involved with these two beings who become symbiotic, but it's just more natural.
They mesh.
It's just more natural for them. Like, and I'll use your situation as an example. You're clearly willing to put the work in, but maybe because of this flashpoint moment for Kara where she could potentially lose a loved one. I mean, that thought went through her mm-hmm. head, and your stoic demeanor was something that she didn't envision changing, and she could respectfully go, I can't move on like this. Whereas other people just intrinsically and unspokenly, almost effortlessly put in that work and matriculate together through age.
And for some people, it's not work. They wake up they enjoy that process. And then some people are just like, you know what? Not today.
I would challenge like both of you to find like a couple that's been married for 30 plus years, like any couple, and ask them, you know, was it easy? Is it easy? And I would say that every one of those people would say, absolutely not.
We're not saying it's easy.
Let me do a sports example. For LeBron James, by no means has any of it been easy. He has had to work his ass off, but he has been more naturally gifted than J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith could work as hard as he possibly could. He will never be what LeBron James is because LeBron James just had that gift. And I'm saying, two people who find each other symbiotically, it's more LeBron James. There's more natural, God-given, you know, connection there. And not saying that either can't work. Not saying J.R. Smith can't be an all-star, but the amount of work that you might be willing to put in, is that any clearer? Or are you still like, go fuck yourself? Go.
I'm more leaning towards the last part.
Okay, that's fine.
And you know, because...
No one's going to change
once again,
mind,
yes.
But
there are some people who are... I don't even know if this is a thing. More gifted at relationships.
I think that's a thing.
They just fit better with another person.
But I'm saying that even the fact that LeBron James is like a great athlete, has more physical talent, if he doesn't do anything to hone those skills, then a J.R. Smith can surpass him. If he just lays back and goes, hey, you know what? I'm just naturally gifted. I don't have to work. You may get to a point where you're okay. But if you don't work, you're just going to be okay. You can be outworked. I've seen people who have natural talent to do something and have been outworked by somebody who maybe isn't as talented, but they have more of a commitment to it than that other person.
There's an old, I think, sports cliche that goes along the lines of like hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we all know a couple in our life, and you just wonder, like, how do they do it? Like, how do they navigate through all of this? And I'm not saying that they don't work hard, but they might
not.
That
they don't fight or that they don't argue. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not saying
how about this? Like, where you guys have to, like, you have to point at the wall and go, rules! Like, they intrinsically understand them because they love themselves. They love each other so intimately, so intrinsically. They can't explain it. They don't have to have those rules explained to them. They just fight by them. Mm-hmm. And it is easier for them. And we all envy those people because they have been fortunate enough to truly find that their soulmate is another person they are going to spend the rest of their life with. So their fights don't last as long. They don't get as heated. While the rest of us peons have to look at the rules and remember not to jump to conclusions where we envy them and they go, they just get it.
And not say, you know, and they have to, like, where you're saying, you even said yourself, like, it's coming a little bit more naturally for yourself where Kara has to work a little harder. Mm-hmm. Because she looks at your face and thinks, what the fuck? You're already pissed. And you're like, no, no. So for her, like, for you maybe every day now with getting going to therapy and doing those things and having those tools, it'll become more natural for you. Where for her, she's going to have to fight a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. She's going to have to want a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Not saying, like, you're going to change and go separate ways, but...
We got to wrap up in a couple of minutes. Can I ask you guys house stuff?
Yeah.
Laminate flooring, thoughts?
Like tiles or like it looks like hardwood?
It looks like hardwood. Laminate flooring. That's my next project because I have carpet coming on Monday and could buy really expensive stuff. I've heard all different things. You don't have to get waterproof. It doesn't scratch. I've seen like conflicting reviews when I've been on these on the websites, and one person will say the moment I put it down it scratched, and the next person will say it's lasted for 5 years and, you know, there's not even any dog hair on it.
You have dogs, so probably anything is going to be screwed up a little bit. So I would say style changes, life changes. Go with something from cheap to in the middle until you decide what you really, really want and want to put the money in.
Is your kitchen laminate floor, is it waterproof?
Yep.
How much did you spend on it? You remember?
Nope.
Is it the click lock stuff?
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Nope.
Okay.
Is it sticky or is it just the click lock? It's like click. The floating?
Yeah, it's a floating floor.
See, when I think laminate, I think like sticky.
Yeah.
And, like the strips.
And that's, you know, a laminate wood floors, they also call them floating floors.
Yes.
Which are really easy to do. I did the one in my bathroom. I changed the floor out in that one. How much are you getting?
About 700 square feet.
Okay. So, yeah, you probably want to have somebody install that.
Jody's husband, Josh, can help out.
But
he did their floor.
But what? A lot of measuring. A lot of staggering.
Well, I was just wondering about the durability and
durability
the quality
depend,
of the stuff.
Like on anything. It's how much you want to put into it.
Well, yeah.
I have a dog. You know, we got a relatively good floating floor. Probably in the medium price range. You can find colors that and styles that look amazing. If you're worried about like the floor being scratched up, don't. It's a floor.
Right. It's supposed to be.
You should come see my friend Erica's house. She completely did everything to her condo, and it was like budget friendly, but also style, like very style conscious. And her house is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I know she was very like, okay, like same decisions. Like, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? And she's got it everything.
Doing the math for the flooring is kind of a nuisance. Some of the sites I've been on the last couple of days at least provide the calculator there for you. I think Lowe's does not, where like these boxes come. So it might say $1.79 a square foot, but depending on how much is actually in the box, the square footage,
right.
And then divide. Yeah, so the math is the math adds an extra layer of thought that goes into it. But I feel like if I got like the 99-cent stuff, unless it was on like a $2 sale, I feel like I'm going to regret it. So I feel like middle of the road is the way to go.
And for it's just not, you know, you also have to lay down like a barrier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the underlayment.
So the underlayment.
Well, some of the stuff comes with it.
You can buy that on Amazon too.
What?
The under stuff. Yeah. She bought it off Amazon instead of at the store because it was way cheaper for the same thing.
But, and once again, depending on like the quality of the underlayment that you get,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot like cushion.
It's the pad.
The padding, for the pad for carpet. You can get cheap pad, which will cut the life of your carpet in half, or you can get something in the middle to high end, which will give you, you know, the sound barrier, the water protection that you need, and all those other things. You know, it all depends on, like, once again, quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a basement?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not, like, on a slab?
No.
Okay.
So, well, thanks for hanging out, guys.
That was your only question? What's laminate? It?
That was your kind, that's where I'm at now because okay. The carpet comes on Monday. The majority of the painting is done. I'll get to the kitchen stuff. Doesn't have to go, but the kitchen will be the last thing. So we'll go from there. I was spent the week because I know Lowe's and Home Depot, Menards, but I also came across some online stuff. One site that I wasn't familiar with, Lumber Liquidators.
That's where I got my floors for Bumble.
Floors to your home. Like lumber, a week ago, if I was looking up Lumber Liquidators online, it would have been a porn site. Now I'm like looking for laminate. Like my browsing habits are completely different now.
Oh, I know.
Do you own Pinterest now?
No, my friend started a Pinterest page for me. Okay. But I did find, I was trying to come up with a way to shelve the Transformer stuff. I'll show you guys off the air and see how doable this is. Because it seems my friend who's going to help me out with this, or at least look at it, said it's not as easy as you think. But I'm like, it's a lot easier than some of the other stuff I saw on Pinterest with ropes and piping. I mean, this is...
I have 2 pipe bookshelves. Just take them.
Maybe I will. Yeah. Don't get rid of them.
They're staying.
I mean, I got a whole house to fill. I have like an entire extra room.
Don't worry about it.
What?
Yeah. You'll fill it.
I look at my basement. I'm like, I'm 34. My basement looks like my grandparents.
Like it's literally like my wife is like, you know, it'd be nice for you to do. And I'm like, what, honey? She goes, you know what you should do? Just you should build a couple of shelves in your garage, you know, just to help you put stuff away. And I was like, shelves are like Field of Dreams.
He saw my garage.
If you build it, they will fill. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you don't have anything at that moment. You could turn your back and it'll be full of shit.
Yeah. He saw my garage. It's like insane.
There, I'm showing them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that'll work for the Transformers.
Yeah, like little floating shelves.
Not well. They would go across the entirety. They basically they'd line the room.
Is this Pinterest?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's doable, right? My
yeah. That's
pretty. It's like little. That's like what's in my closet.
Easy to do, right? Yeah.
It would be like making sure that they're straight.
Yeah, that's nice. You just gotta make sure they're level.
Yeah, you need like one of those string snappers.
But that's like a plank or two at Home Depot. Stain it if I want and get it up there so it doesn't fall.
So really like good planks though, just as a heads up to hold.
You want to see a good plank? I can get down for like 3 minutes.
No, not that kind of plank. Maybe. No, but there's like if you get the.
I don't wonder. I completely know why. Lumber Liquidators, the porn site, not the wood site.
If you get like the thicker ones, they're still expensive.
Yeah.
Like they're like. $10 for an 8-foot
and then on
plank,
top of that, you
got to like
make sure
them.
That, yeah, they're not warped in any way.
Right.
You have to let them settle on a flat space.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get together again soon.
Go Bucks.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. 3 unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.